You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The issue here is whether it was appropriate for the government to go to DEFCON 5 and use criminal law measures to enforce the Presidential Records Act, which is not a criminal statute. But you should understand, those materials are the property of the United States. The question is whether they should, you know, how they should get back to the government's possession and whether it was appropriate to do it this way. Then there's this whole thing about classified information, which is what the government, I think, offers as its reasons why this was such an emergency that they had to do it now. And they issued a warrant that was not targeted at classified information. It actually authorized the agents to take every shred of paper that was generated during the Trump administration, which means no matter what they're telling you about classified information, they're trying to enforce the Presidential Records Act as if it was a criminal statute.
And it's not a criminal statute. This is August 15, 2022. The words coming from Andy McCarthy, former federal prosecutor in New York, now a columnist for National Review, that's a conservative publication, founded by William F. Buckley in 1955. Now, I point that out so you understand his alliance on the Republican conservative side. We are live streaming at rumble.com. Right now, you can go to rumble.com, enter in search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you to a page where we have previous Rumble postings. You can push live and you join us in studio. Glad to have you, whether you're watching live now or later. And of course, if you miss any part of this program or any of our programs, remember you can always get them on the podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Larry Connors USA. Simple to remember. So I mentioned the other day when this raid took place at the FBI, or rather at the Trump Mar-a-Lago estate. We get a search warrant signed off by a judge based on information given him by the FBI agents. I told you then the most crucial part was still missing. Not the search warrant, not the receipt of what they took, but the affidavit that backed it up as to why the judge signed off and that it had to be done as a raid, as opposed to they were previously working through subpoenas and are working with Trump's lawyers. And then, of course, now there's claim that perhaps many of the boxes they grabbed up were private, confidential papers between the president and his lawyers. Not just while president, but any lawyer in any deal he had. That's a violation, obviously, if they're breaking into those. We're still not getting full answers, and we're probably not going to, because the timing of this was just amazing. It took place just as Congress broke to go on the recess because they had to rush off and get reelected. So there's nobody really to call everything together. In fact, they can't even actually get the president to sign the Infrastructure Comedy Act. I should say Infrastructure Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, because he's still on vacation, which is raising another question, even among Democrats. Why is he on vacay right now? We need him in the White House. They don't want him on the campaign trail with them, I can tell you that. We have a guest today, Dick Morris, former Clinton confidant, until he wasn't. The book he's written, The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. We are also going to ask him about the FBI raid in Clinton documents that they had when they left the White House, and Hillary Clinton, and the documents she had on her private server. And then also, this is, let me remind you, the one-year anniversary that we had a modern-day Saigon airlifting personnel out of Saigon to safety as Saigon fell. Biden said that won't happen in Afghanistan when we leave. It did. And he also promised we won't leave any American behind. We did. And he also promised all those Afghans who helped us will be brought to the U.S. They haven't. And in fact, many that have been brought here, we're not too sure if they have been properly vetted, that some might actually be terrorists. In the meantime, buses of illegals continue to go from the border areas, certainly out of Texas, up to D.C. and New York City. And they are crying up there. They can't handle all of this. Got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Remarkable scenes right now in the capital of Kabul. We just saw a line of pickup trucks go by with Taliban fighters on the back, guns in hand, celebrating the one-year anniversary of their takeover of Afghanistan. It comes as this GOP report indicates the Biden administration waited until the last minute to make decisions about the evacuation from Kabul's international airport last August.
Right now in Afghanistan, listening to music is outlawed. Women must be covered when in public, and the majority of teenage girls are banned from participating in secondary education. The Taliban claims this is equality.
Are women free in Afghanistan?
Of course.
Women can't go out in public alone at night. They can't serve in senior government roles. They have to be covered when they go into the streets of Kabul. How can you describe this as free?
The laws of the country regulate how people conduct themselves when in the public. That does not in any shape, way, or form mean that someone is free or is not free.
An American official tells Fox News that the State Department will deliver a report to the White House in the next few days detailing what went wrong with that evacuation last summer and how so many U.S. allies were left behind.
Yeah, I'll expect that report when I see it, and then I won't have any questions about it. I doubt that. I'll have a lot of questions. Keep in mind, when we made the decision to pull out of Afghanistan, we did it in the middle of the night. Now, I'll remind you, first of all, Trump was willing to take troops out of Afghanistan. I was certainly willing to get boots off the ground, but it was going to be a procedural, orderly process, and the Taliban had to meet certain criteria for Trump to move them out by a certain date. Of course, when the new year came and Trump was no longer going to be president, the Taliban looked at it and said, well, that deal's off. We could care less. And they started doing what they wanted. They started seizing and taking over various areas of Afghanistan weeks and weeks before the fall of Kabul. They knew Biden was weak. He was not going to be showing any strength whatsoever. And then in the dead of night, when he decides we're pulling everyone out of Agram Air Base, where we had so much military might and air power available to help those fighting the terrorists, the Taliban, we abandoned them. They're not going to get any airstrike support. And also, of course, we left billions of dollars worth of equipment behind at that air base. Now in the hands of Taliban and other terrorists. And we figured and feared that, yes, the Taliban would not live up to the agreement they'd made with Trump, that they would once again allow terrorist activity to breed inside Afghanistan, as if the Taliban's not a terrorist anyway. So that we had the other day, the drone strike upon the former ISIS leader, Al-Qaeda, I should say, who had taken over after Osama bin Laden, and he was living in Taliban country, in fact, a very rich area of Afghanistan, where other Taliban warlords also have homes. So they're clearly letting terrorists thrive and probably helping them, fund them, to carry out activities all over the world. And who's the target? Anyone that is a Western civilization considered the devil. That certainly includes the U.S. of A. and other Western allies and European countries. Anyone. And, of course, even as you heard, inside Afghanistan today, when the Taliban claimed we will make sure when we take over power that it will be an inclusive regime. It's not. They don't have any women at high-ranking positions in their regime. They have shut down schools again, except for primary and secondary education, trying to get the kids just enough knowledge to learn to read, write, maybe do some math. And no, they're not teaching. They're not teaching critical race theory. And no, they're not teaching transsexualism. And no, they're not teaching lesbian and homosexual relations, nor abortion. They're indoctrinating, but they're indoctrinating into the ways of the Taliban. Jihadists never specifically said how they would define the word inclusive. That should have been the first test. Inclusive was, you heard the on that Fox report from the correspondent in Kabul when he's talking to one of the foreign ministers. He said, everybody's free. And the correspondent said, well, no, they're not. The women had to cover up. They can't travel at night. They can't be alone by unless they have other women with them. They cannot be in the acquaintance of a man unless directly related. The kids are not allowed to go to school except to a certain level. Oh, no, they're all free. They're following the government rules. And what are the government rules are is that you were either free or you're not free. And does not necessarily mean you're free or not free. What? Yeah, you're right. That's doublespeak. Very similar to what we got from the Biden administration and continue. And through Dr. Fake, we all got to mask up and then you'll be good. Oh, no, we got to get a vaccine. Then you'll be good. No, we got a vaccine and a mask and you'll be good. You got to do this and over and you need boosters and you're still going to have it. They watched how we do things here. And I think they've learned some lessons from the Biden and Dr. Fake appearances. And of course, the day we did pull out and it became apparent that we were out, the chaos at the international airport, you remember pictures of those trying to get out of the country, hanging onto the side of Air Force jets as they're trying to take off, some clinging to them to 3,000, 5,000 feet before they'd lose their grip and fall to their death. That's how desperate they wanted to get out, because they knew if they could be associated with helping the U.S. troops at any time while we were there, they and their family would be targeted. We had numerous members that we said we would bring out, numerous Afghan members we said we would bring out because they did help us. And all of those that came out on those planes, they were not prior approved. They simply were able to get on the plane. In fact, I'm looking at a report here from Beth Bradley, or Bailey, I should say. She's quoting a source out of the State Department saying that more than 46,000 Afghans have applied for humanitarian parole to escape the Taliban. Only 4,500 of those have been processed. Now, this is those who are still there trying to get out. And in fact, she details a story of a U.S. citizen that had a family there, and he's gone back trying to get them out. These daily was trying to call them and reach them and finally decided, I've got to get back in the country and get them out. And Biden made it clear that if anybody's left behind, they chose to stay there, like maybe they had family. Well, yeah, if you had family there, you may not want to go. How this happened with him, I'm not sure of all the details, but he's now been able to get back, get his family out, but now they're in a gathering spot in outside Afghanistan, where now they have to apply for parole above and beyond where they stand. State Department offering to evacuate him and some of his family, but first of all, they need to get everything cleared up. So now they're in Qatar, in a refugee camp. Do you remember the interview that Biden gave to George Stephanopoulos on ABC, and they were talking about what was going to happen with Afghanistan, and of course, particularly and specifically, American citizens inside Afghanistan?
So Americans should understand that troops might have to be there beyond August 31st.
No, Americans should understand that we're going to try to get it done before August 31st.
But if we don't, the troops will stay.
If we don't, we'll determine at the time who's left.
And
if there are American forces, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay till we get them all out.
No, we did not do that. We did not. We still don't know how many Americans are left. We keep hearing reports of folks who say, I have relatives over there. I can't reach them. I don't know what happened. Well, if they're lucky, they're still in hiding somewhere. And you remember the confusion that followed that? When we abandoned our Bagram Air Force Base in the middle of the night, and everybody realized, hey, the Americans are not here anymore. They're rushing to the international airport, and the embassy was telling Americans, shelter in place, shelter in place. Then they say, no, go to the airport, you can go to the airport. Then they said, no, go back, go shelter in place. And then they said, Taliban guard will be coming to pick you up. So you're supposed to get in with the Taliban and go wherever they take you? Who knows how many Americans got that message, didn't get the others, or got a confusion gathering of messages and didn't know what to do. And they're still being held in Afghanistan. And then, of course, those that we did bring. We did not properly vet. We were told they were going to be vetted before they were even brought into the U.S. of A. It turns out they were not. What they did is they brought them into different locations and said they're going to encamp them here and then we're going to vet them here. So they're already here. But then they were also allowing them to leave the base if they chose to. Before we really knew who they were, if they really had even helped U.S. forces, and are in fact, they might actually be jihadists mixing in with the Afghans we wanted to help get out. These are questions that are still alive today and just as scary today as they were a year ago when we abandoned Americans and Afghanis who were helping us fight the Taliban. And where's your president today? Where's your president on this one-year anniversary of pulling all the troops out? I think I hear it. I think I hear an ice cream truck. I think I have found him. He's still on vacation, which is fine. But do you not think at least something would be given? And I've been scouring and watching. Is there anything coming from the White House today? Let me see. Let me get an update for you. If there's anything at all from the White House on an update on whether on how they feel about what happened and getting everybody out and where we stand. And I see, no, the closest thing I see is that nothing. Even on CNN and NNN, they're not doing anything. Fox News hasn't shown anything coming out of the White House. And if they don't issue anything, then they're not going to have anything to report, obviously. But I don't see anything from anywhere at all from the White House marking this one-year anniversary of this debacle, horrendous debacle of withdrawing from Afghanistan. We will never know. We will never know how many were killed because of the way Biden withdrew. We will never know how many got tortured. And I doubt we will ever really know how many Afghans we brought into the U.S. that were really Taliban or some other jihadist movement. They got onto the planes and we gave them free transportation, bringing them into our country. Well, of course, if they didn't come by air, they could always come across our open border, couldn't they? Which they have. The documentation's number up 110 now on a no-fly list that have been caught across the border. And, of course, the Texas governor continues to send some to New York City. The governor coming up.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is horrific when you think about what the governor is doing, the governor of Texas, after a month of traveling across the border, placing on the bus with no direction to come here to New York. And New York is a city that has always represented the democratic values and the values of our city, of showing our compassion. And that's what we're doing today.
Showing our compassion. That's Eric Adams, New York City mayor. And he's saying, this is so bad, horrendous, of what the governor of Texas is doing, taking all these migrants after they traveled all this way across from Central America or wherever. They put them on buses, air-conditioned buses, toilet facilities, a nice, smooth ride, no more walking, out of the heat, to New York City or D.C. I'm looking at a picture right now that shows something like 700 migrants, 700, crossing over a period of 5 hours at one of the Texas border towns. They're getting that on a daily basis. And a bus shows up occasionally in New York City or D.C., and they're crying, oh, we can't handle this. You're not right. You're mistreating these people. Well, for the first thing, many of them are offered and said, this bus will be going to D.C. or New York City. You want to get on this one or that one? Now, there have been some problems developed. I'll tell you about that in the next hour. But for the most part, they're volunteering. They wanted to come to America. We're just going to get them deeper in the interior. We're going to make sure that the northern blue states that think, oh, that's not our issue, it is your issue. Not just illegals coming in that you've got to provide housing for and using up your resources that you would spend on your citizens, but you also have to be concerned if terrorists have snuck in with them. And the New York City mayor, as you were hearing him speak then, I'm looking at a piece that was written by an opinion columnist for MSNBC. So it'd be slanted originally to show the mayor's doing a good job and complaining about it. Not so. The headline of the article is, "The mayor is blowing his chance to be truly welcoming to the migrants, and Democrats are muddling their message, and it's not winning support." He goes on to say, "Blaming migrants for America's problems is a political tradition Republicans have excelled at for years, but statements recently from New York City Mayor Adams, a Democrat, serve as a latest reminder that casting aspersions on migrants is too often a bipartisan affair." Adams calling for more federal funding to shelter these migrants being bused from Texas to his city. He complained he had a flood of 2,800 asylum seekers in New York City. 2,800. I just told you there's a picture of 700 migrants crossing over a period of 5 hours at one Texas border crossing. Illegally. And, of course, we know the numbers are tens and hundreds of thousands on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And then the word comes from the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, for those in the north, particularly you blue states. Listen up. I know some of you are listening via our app. You can't hear the station direct, but you pick it up on the app. I'm glad to have you. But let this be a warning to you if you want to consider it a warning or just something else you can complain about. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick warning those mayors of other blue cities, look out your window. You might see a bus coming to you one day in the future. In other words, we're going to start dispersing them more than just New York City and D.C. All of you claim to be sanctuary cities and states. I thought you would be welcoming these folks rather than complaining about them. Again, it shows the hypocrisy that exists with the Democrats. We're all concerned about the illegals. They have no place to go, no place to be sheltered. And you are complaining because you really don't want to help them either, do you? Do we have one Hollywood star yet that's opened their house for illegals to spend time there at their house? I can't think of one. Can you? I don't think so. Coming up, Dick Morris, author of Trump's Big 2024 Comeback.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Dick Morris, an American political author, commentator, previously working as pollster, political campaign consultant, friend and advisor to Bill Clinton during his time as governor of Arkansas. Then they later became a political advisor to the White House after Clinton was elected. And has now a book out titled The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. Dick, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you.
So let's begin. I want to get into some of the things that have happened since we last talked and how it might relate to your book and the 2024 comeback. First of all, you told us last time we talked that you speak to Trump on a pretty regular basis. Have you talked to him since the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah, I spoke to him that night.
That night?
Yeah, all Monday right. night.
All right, so...
He was determined. He was ferocious about it. He said that the Democrats have really overreached and that the public will be outraged by these tactics. And he was just... Hang on one sec, please. Please call me back in 15 minutes.
You're a busy man there.
Yeah, no. So he was furious, and he said they've really overreached, and he's determined. This strengthens his determination. But let me say this to you. I think you have to take all these events as part of one package. First, the Russiagate stuff, then the impeachment stuff, then the ludicrous contention that his advocacy, his opinion, that the election was rigged or stolen is treasonable and is trying to overthrow the government. And then this raid, which I think had nothing to do with documents. I think that's just a pretext. The raid was to get into his house and look at every piece of paper he has and go on his computer and look at every file to try to dig up information that could lead them to claim that he was involved in an insurrection in the U.S. government.
Now, let me break down some of that. Hold on a minute. Hang on, Dick. No, I control the interview, Dick. Hang on a second. What you said has been echoed by Molly Hemingway of the Federalist when she said that records suggest a backbench bureaucrat's partisan grievance, and it's a nakedly political raid on Trump, which then also says, trying to find more evidence that has some linkage to January 6th. You agree with that, obviously.
Yeah. I think the whole thing was pretextual to dig up data on January 6th. And the reason they're doing that, I explain all this in my book, the reason they're doing that is that they will try to invoke the 14th Amendment to keep Trump off the ballot. And they'll work with blue state legislatures to try to do that throughout the country. And the 14th Amendment, which was passed in 1866, right, a year after the war ended, and it was because in the elections of that year, the by-elections, former Confederate states sent congressmen and senators who were former Confederate generals and office holders,
correct,
including Alexander Stevens, who was the vice president of the Confederacy, who was elected senator from Georgia. And they elected all congressmen and senators, which was like a roster of the Confederate government and army. So they passed this legislation as part of the 14th Amendment that was going through at that point to say if you're involved in an insurrection against the government, you can't hold public office.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you that that's what the intent is. When you talked to him the other night, did he say anything then that he suspected that a lot of confidential privilege information and affidavits between him and his lawyers were also seized? Because that's the current claim, although he didn't know.
He didn't refer to that.
Okay.
He did not refer to that specifically. But the underlying text here, which is why I wrote the book, The Return. I've had 13 New York Times bestsellers. I didn't need a 14th, like a hole in the head. But what I did believe and do believe is that this is a serious, serious threat to our democracy. And then you take it with the 87,000 armed IRS agents. And what are they doing being armed? And there is,
well,
pretextual.
There are Secret Service agents that are naturally armed, and rightly so. But you're right.
I'm saying I'm saying IRS agents.
And IRS agents as well.
Yeah.
Here's the point. What kind of impact is it going to have? Now, when you wrote the book, none of this had happened. I do believe, and I'm seeing the rage in it, but the thin line here, and Trump has already said, basically, he's kind of said, beware of, I can't find his exact wording here, but threatening federal agents in the Attorney General's office, the guy that goes in the Ohio office the other day trying to barge in, reports the FBI put out a warning the other day about a dirty bomb in front of the D.C. office. I don't know how much of that is propaganda, but the bottom line is we have to be very careful here. We don't have people attacking federal civil servants because they're upset over this event.
Of course that's true. But what the point I'm making is that this is a deliberately thought-out plan by the Biden administration that I expose in my book, The Return, to keep Trump off the ballot, even if he wins all the primaries, even if he wins the Republican nomination without opposition by acclamation. And there, but
well,
the
actually, how much do you think this is going to accelerate?
Damn it.
No. You understand. You're being interviewed.
Me?
I am interviewing you. I'm interviewing you, but I have a question that you raised right then. And I think you're exactly right on your point, but the point here is, will this accelerate more support for him as opposed to those who were kind of in the middle?
Yeah, huge support. The most recent poll shows that the number of independents who think that this was a serious political effort by his opponents is now, among independents, is 63%, and among Republicans it's over 90%. And this is motivating people like crazy, and it has to, because and the IRS agents are simply pretextual that they're there to raise money.
Yeah,
they know that the rich people are going to hide their money and that they're not going to raise much at all. What they will do is go after the middle class people and terrorize them.
Well, ironically,
and the goal here is to make sure that they have something on everybody.
Yeah,
and can use that vial to intimidate people.
They have made it clear. It's been clear by various stats that those making $25,000 or less are likely to be audited, you know, five times more often than anyone else. And those making $200,000 or less are also likely to be more audited. But Senator Blumenthal, Connecticut, said, oh, they'll go only after the rich. That's where the money is. He's an $80 million senator. Do you think he's going to be audited?
No, I doubt it. But listen to the second half of what I've been saying. They're doing this to develop blackmail material on American citizens.
I hear you.
Just like they do in Eastern Europe, where they're saying, you step out of line, you criticize the president, you're in one of these demonstrations, you say the election was rigged, and we are targeting you, and we'll find something wrong with your tax return. That's why we have 87,000 people going through your garbage, tapping your phone, monitoring your bank account, monitoring your bank transactions, because we want to get material on you to shut you up so that you don't complain about what we're doing.
I don't think a lot of people disagree with your remark there, but the bottom line is that may be what they want, but how do we put a stop to it?
Well, I believe that we can't do anything this year. But in my book, I propose that in 23, we defund the extra IRS agents from the appropriation bill. And Biden will veto the bill. That'll cause a government shutdown. And we stand our ground on that. And we insist that the budget pass without the lines for those 83,000 agents. Because I regard them as an army of occupation. And I think it's vital to our liberties that we get rid of that.
All right. Dick, I appreciate it. It's an engaging interview as I expected. And
let me get a word in edgewise.
Well, of course I will. I will. And, of course, I let you promote the book because that's part of it
Good.
As well. And I'm all for that. It's just that I don't let interviewees go on monologues. But you did, you had some excellent points, and I'm glad you brought them up. And we'll see where it goes from here because I do agree with you. There's a lot of people outraged over this, whether or not the documents were properly taken or not. We still want to see the affidavit, but we're running out of time here.
Who gives a damn about the archives?
Only when they say it could be used against Trump.
It's purely pretextual. Don't you get it?
I got it.
Care about those
and
archives.
Dick,
they would gather dust in a basement.
Thank you, sir.
The ability to get inside and monitor every piece of paper in his house.
And you can get his book, obviously, everywhere. The Return. Thanks very much, Dick. We'll
Thank
talk
you,
to you again.
Good
you bet. We'll do it again.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's engaging. Not the first interview I've had go like that, so don't get upset if you're just listening for the first time. We have a lot more. Coming up, what they're really trying to do when it comes to using your tax dollars, interesting.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town & Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town & Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times?
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, you heard Dick Morris's view of what the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago was, and the ultimate aim of the 87,000 new tax agents they'll be bringing on board if they continue to have their way. It should reinforce upon you how important the midterm elections are, both for the House and the Senate, and, of course, 2024. As I've told you on this program, I really don't care if you're Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, Republican, as long as you're a patriot for this country. Now, by that, that does not mean that I'm so righteous patriot that I'll go out and start attacking FBI agents in an office as what happened the other day, or shooting at IRS agents, things of that nature. No, that's not being patriotic. You're falling into the same group of BLM and Antifa activists that got away with everything under the Democrats when they all looked the other way, but we don't. And you do not take part in it, you call it out. But to that extent, Senator Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, talked about the path forward in this investigation involving Trump. He said, "This is absurd. This has been a witch hunt for 6 years. And he's absolutely right. Actually, longer than that. He said, "There's no question in my mind this is an overreach at best, and asking for a criminal warrant that gives you space of time because they're looking for national security sensitive information." He said, "There's nothing that comes on the conclusion that you would ever give someone 2 weeks to go through that process." I would agree. That's what we said the other day. Remember, we were told, no, they're just trying to retrieve records the National Archives said it should belong to them, and they did back. And then it became, well, we're after some sensitive, classified, maybe nuclear materials, plans. Throw that word in there, that hypes it up even more, doesn't it? And then when we're told how this was carried out, and again, you can't individually blame every FBI agent or IRS agent for whatever happens going forward. It's whoever decides that they want to weaponize them for political purposes. But to that extent, former Vice President Al Gore said, "Oh, I'm sure that Attorney General Garland and the Department of Justice and the FBI acted totally appropriate." Al Gore, who's told you the planet should have been wiped out by now by climate change. An inconvenient truth. And then also former FBI agent Peter Strzok, appearing on MSNBC, talking about the raid, and he said, "The American public should trust what the FBI is doing." This is the same Strzok, as I called him, Smurf, and his lover, Lisa Page, riding back and forth, saying, "We'll make sure we'll get kind of an insurance policy. Trump will never be in the White House." And said, "I walked into Walmart and Trump people were there. I could smell them." That was a federal agent at the FBI who obviously had a bias that got in the way of law and order. And it pervaded at the upper ranks. Call me McCabe. Until it turned into CYA, which is obviously cover your own arse. Which brings me to Christopher Wray, current FBI director. Members of Trump's group told him after Wray was being kept on, said, "You really need to get him out of here. He's not going to be good." But Trump decided to go with Wray, thinking, hopefully it'll work out and be okay. Well, of course, last week, Wray was in front of a Senate committee being asked by Senator Grassley different things about the moles, I should say, the informants, whistleblowers inside the FBI, talking about how bad it was still to this day. And Wray said, "Well, I've got to go. And Grassley said, "Well, I heard that you had to leave here at 1:30. Can't you allow another 20 minutes? And Wray said, "Senator, I had a flight. I'm supposed to be hightailing it out of here. I thought we were going to be done at 1:30. That's how we ended up where we are." And Senator asked, "Can you stay?" And Wray got up and left. He left and then departed on the FBI Gulfstream 550 jet, apparently. Obviously intended by the FBI, but for counterterrorism use, to make a 1 hour, 12 minute journey to Saranac Lake to begin his vacation. Certain federal officials are allowed to use government aircraft for personal or even political uses, but they have to be reimbursed. The problem here is they usually reimburse the cost of that flight at what a commercial ticket would have cost. And it runs a hell of a lot cheaper than your own Gulfstream. I'm sure Ray will end up paying something, but I doubt it will be fair. But you, if you make a mistake on your taxes going forward, be aware that you will be targeted, more so than ever before. Coming up, more details on this overreach by the FBI the other day. And even if you think it was right, would you accept a premise I'm going to pose? Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.